They loved and shaped me too. Went to Princeton with Richard Rorty and Sheldon Wolin and Walter Kaufman, Tim Scanlon and Thomas Nagel, and on they shaped me too. I was willing to be shaped in the best of who they are, and I wanted to shape them in the best of who I was. I already came in with a certain decolonized sensibility, but a hermeneutics of suspicion. Harvard, Brown, Princeton, prima donnas, center of the intellectual universe. Really? Get off the symbolic crack pipe. You got blind spots like anybody else. You got parochialism like any other institution. You got provincialism like any other faculty. You just happen to be highly talented and highly privileged. And the question is, Baldwin, were you really willing to wrestle with what it means to be human? That's what we like about the towering figures in humanities, especially on the existential front. That's what makes Shakespeare different. That's what makes Chekhov different. That's what makes Beethoven different. That's what makes Dinah Washington different. A willingness to probe at the deepest level of their souls. That critical self-inventory. I call it following the Greeks. I'm very much a product of the legacy of Jerusalem. But the legacy of Athens means much. When Plato said philosophy, love of wisdom, is a meditation on and preparation for death. When Montaigne says to philosophize is to learn how to die. And even Seneca, and we don't expect too much profundities from the Romans, they were so busy running an empire, very much like Americans. And he says, he or she who learns how to die unlearns slavery. And I come from a tradition and a people at our best who have been on intimate terms with forms of death. It's not just the social death of slavery, 244 years of white supremacist slavery, torture, sun up, sun down, average age of slaves collapsing at 27 years old. It's not just that. It's not just the civic death of American terrorism and Jim Crow Sr., Jane Crow Sr. No, it's not just that. It's not just the psychic death of black people taught the less than, less beautiful, less moral, less intellectually gifted. I know there's a lot of talk about this Black Panther film now, and I appreciated the title of it. The Black Panther Party meant much to me. I worked in the breakfast programs, I worked in the prison programs. Revolutionary Christians who I wouldn't join, such a secular organization that didn't understand the religious underpinnings of what gone into the shaping and molding of who they were. I used to tell Brother Huey, your father was Walter Newton, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana, known as the baddest Negro in Monroe.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Wade.
So you are a secular extension. You just no longer tied to cognitive commitments to God and grace and faith, but you very much like your father. You light skinned sunshine Negro, looking beautiful. Your father was a white man. Violated a black woman. Let's be honest about it. Come on, Huey.
Well, that's one better.
Meaning what? Meaning that when it comes to wrestling with forms of death, spiritual death, in which despair has the last word, as opposed to the brook of fire through which all of us must pass. Kierkegaard is right in Works of Love. You never despaired, you never lived. It shows how sensitive you are to your wrestling with what it means to be human, just not allowing that despair to so thoroughly discombobulate you and debilitate you and paralyze you that you're unable to think and act in the short time before you die physically. And so it is in what the Greeks call paideia, P-A-I-D-E-I-A. That's the best of Brown University. Paideia, that deep education, not that cheap schooling. And that deep education is about learning how to die by critically examining yourself and letting go certain assumptions and presuppositions, certain dogma and doctrine that no longer facilitate your quest toward maturity, no longer facilitate your quest toward a more critical view about the world, a more compassionate way of being in the world. And it is a perennial and endless process of learning how to die in order to learn how to live well. And love, truth, goodness, and love of beauty. And Rilke is right. Beauty is fundamentally tied to trauma and tear. And somehow you've got to transfigure your suffering tied to your wounds and bruises and unbelievable scars, so that you emerge not just as an agent. I know agency is a very popular word in the last 40, 45 years among the academic chattering classes. Just like bodies now is very popular these days. What do you think about the black bodies, Brother Webb? Oh. I had one for 64 years, but I never put it that way. A lot of memories in this body. A lot of thoughts in this body, a lot of arguments in this body, a lot of stories in this body, a lot of narratives in this body, a lot of stuff in this body that language can't even come close to. I haven't got to the love of my grandmother yet. I think this body could exist without her, given what she did for me. Don't reduce me to my body. I'm a free black man. And that's rare. If you are a free black man, you have attempted to thoroughly denigrize yourself. And every aim and end of the dominant powers for so long is to niggerize black people and keep black people so scared and intimidated, laughing when it ain't funny, scratching when it don't itch, trying to adjust yourself. You end up well adjusted to injustice and well adapted to indifference. Some of us want to be free. And that's a rare thing. That's why we go to the musicians. Artists are the vanguard of the species. I believe musicians are the vanguard of the artists. Because we get a taste of the freedom when Sam Cooke sings "I Send You." You get a taste of the freedom when James Brown says, "Clyde Stubblefield, get the drummer song, hit it now." And that's not entertainment. It's being a love warrior. And a love of truth and a love of freedom, given the inability of being free in the structures and institutions. You can be free enough in your soul and in your mind. And that's a rare thing. And we're seeing this more and more among black folk, especially among the black middle classes, especially among the black professional managerial classes, where they've been told for the last 40 years, to be free is to be successful. To be free is to go to the highest levels of the American empire and let the other black folk live vicariously through your success. No, success is one thing. Greatness is something else. Success is one thing. Freedom is something else. Thank God that Curtis Mayfield wasn't obsessed with success. He never would have written his music. Don't show up at the rallies. He said, "No, I'm showing up with my guitar. And I tuned it only based on the black keys on the piano." And that was not an ethnic statement he made. It wasn't a racial statement. His grandmother, who was an evangelist, taught him to play his guitar based on the black notes, because she played piano on the black notes. I said, "Well, she's always in the minor key." Well, the blues sensibility cuts deep. And I know y'all taught that wonderful class on blues, people. Living in the dissonance. Staying there, lingering in the minor key, but refusing to opt for revenge tied to justice, refusing to opt for hatred tied to love of self, of others, of truth, of goodness, of beauty, and for some of us, love of the holy. No, that's too abstract. Love of God. Not too popular in the secular academy. That's all right. That's fine. Love my secular brothers and sisters. They just have a different view of the God question. Most of them are.
Did he pause?
No. I could hear him just fine.
I tried to pause him. Do you want to do...
Oh, you did just pause him now?
Maybe I did. I don't know. I turned his volume down on my end. That was good, though. Dr. West is fucking crushing it.
Everything he has to say is just right.
That dude puts the fire in me. Like, any moment he's speaking.
Yeah.
He's got to be one of the greatest living speakers, if not the greatest.
Easily, yeah. Are we on now?
We can start the show anytime.
Cool.
How's it going?
Going fan fucking task.
Thanks for fucking asking.
Wire my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS tucker.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson, bleed today.
And I'll say it right to the camera, stop it.
Hold it, mate.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're gonna get this Terramax out. We're gonna live a clean life.
Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Internet Chronicle, Hate Radio. Radio Hate is a fucking awesome program, and you're listening to it now thanks to Leeville Joker Incorporated and Terramax. One dose of Terramax will have you splitting your cock four different directions. On tonight's program, Kilgore Trout from the Internet Chronicle joins us live. Kilgore, what the fuck's going on?
I don't fucking know.
Do you know
another day in Massacre Bar, down at the Massacre Bar.
Are you a victim?
Republic. We're all a victim of the Crumbling Republic Massacre Bar. I mean, God.
And what is you keep thinking, saying Massacre Bar, what is that?
You know, you go out to the bar, you get massacred. You seen this?
This is
people go to the country music concert, they get massacred.
Have you seen this?
People go to school, they get massacred. Yeah, we've all seen it.
Have you seen this?
Well, it used to be people would say, oh, it's so statistically unlikely for people to worry about. You shouldn't worry about it. And nowadays, well, your chances are getting massacred in a public place are through the roof compared to, things like getting a loan or getting some health care from the government.
Are you scared? Are you afraid?
You think I'm afraid of death? No.
Are you afraid of a gunman coming in to Kroger and unloading 31 rounds into you?
No, death has no personal fear for me. I'm just afraid for our country as a whole.
When you spawn in at Kroger, do you buy armor?
Okay, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid for myself at all. I'm afraid for I'm afraid for the nation. Can you hear that?
The national health.
Talking about me again, yeah. No, this is a national problem, cultural problem. This is not a personal thing. Man. When I say massacre bar, you think, oh, I'm some guy who wears armor to the store. Well,
you're championing.
No, that's everybody else, maybe, not me.
What was it? Infidel body armor.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Used to imagine those dudes.
The thing about the infidel body armor here is, okay, the people who are the most afraid, constantly afraid of terrorism, of shootings, they also have a kind of reaction response to the issue where they don't believe it's true. They deny the reality of all these shootings. They just want to take my gun, right?
Yeah, everything is not true except for their gun, their final gun battle.
Well, the truth is Alex Jones is the anti-gay preacher who's
he's up on that pulpit screaming down the gays.
Yeah, and then on the...
He doesn't even want gay frogs.
No, once he gets off the pulpit, he's sleeping around with all the men in the whole congregation, right?
He's
passing around gay porn to everyone, saying, look what we got here. Except with him, it's the violence and the everything else going on.
It's a pop-up pulpit.
He loves it. He's silver into his lungs and to protect him from chemtrails, right?
Are you...
He's filling his body with fake hormones and screaming about gay frogs, right?
Are you downloading anything right now? You sound like Subasco on the run from the law.
No, that would have to be your end.
Okay.
Because your internet's terrible.
Yeah. It's showing green now. Are you, do you ever, but for real, there's a lot of shootings going on.
Like,
there's a shooting to the left of me, shooting to the right. They're shooting everywhere. There was a shooting, people already forgot the shooting that actually happened in Roanoke in the early 2000s or late 90s.
Dude's no, like, I haven't forgotten that. In fact, the millions of dead cops played at that venue the month.
It was supposed to be a big...
It was mentioned in the newspaper just last month. What do you mean we forgot about it?
What finally happened when millions of dead cops played there?
Nothing.
They said something would happen.
I think it just kind of ruined their venue because they couldn't get many people in there. Yeah, there was high tensions. I thought maybe something would happen, but I didn't hear another word of it.
Turns out people don't actually give a fuck about that.
Well, they gave a fuck enough about it to cancel it at the bigger venue, so probably they weren't able to sell as many tickets because many people in there, that's all.
Because somebody could suicide bomb it or shoot it up with an AK?
No, because the owner of the coffee pot didn't like their politics and found out that they were anti-Trump.
Oh, so that was the whole deal was politics? Doesn't that make it boring? Boring.
They booked millions of dead cops and then realized at the last week that they were millions of dead cops.
Right. Hey, I just got off the phone with millions of dead cops. Oh, great. Did you book them? Yeah. Oh, it turns out there are millions of dead cops.
That's the whole story right there in a nutshell. There was no threats of violence, but there were some, body comments on Facebook. That's about as far as it went.
Hey, it's an edgy name.
Well, technically it's not millions of dead cops. MDC has stood for all kinds of edgy things over the years, so...
Millennials dig cops.
Well, that's true.
That would have fit right in. They said, no, you've misunderstood. You're thinking of that ugly band, Millions of Dead Cops.
It was all okay till they saw the flyer had Trump wearing a KKK uniform, and they thought, what they claimed is that it was pro KKK that it was a racist show. But you know that they were they're Trump lovers out there. They've got a picture of Ben Carson hung in the behind the bar there.
Yeah, he's a really. They have Dr. Ben Carson back behind the bar.
Yeah, and a quotation from him, one of his wise words.
Why him?
Well, because they're anti-racist.
What about Herman Cain? Where's the love for Herman Cain?
Well, Herman Cain. He's not. We heard about. I think Herman Cain is too black for the white conservatives to hold up as their example.
Didn't you know? He sexually assaulted someone on Internet Chronicle.
I don't remember that.
In a van. He picked him up in a van. They were like, "You want to meet a celebrity?"
Well, I don't remember that. But I'm telling you, the what we were just listening to with
no, don't bring Dr. Cornel West into this.
No, he was talking about black people have a lot of privilege, and you know, I think this is a good topic when you know we're talking about Trump support. We've got guys like Harrison, and you know, I wonder what Cornel West would have to say about Kanye, because he has this glorification of musicians.
Brother Kanye.
Speak to the soul.
Well, Brother Kanye actually apologized or denounced his original meeting with the president. He said that he was being used, his voice was being used enough to promote a message he did not agree with.
So Kanye has broken up with Trump?
He's broken from the chains of Trump.
And it was not a very popular place to be. And I think that's really, Kanye is kind of a sad egomaniac.
Well, how bad is it when sitting across from the president is like a position of, is beneath you, is embarrassing?
That's how it should be for any musician. Any musician, see, or artist for that matter, sees power as a gross and lowly thing that, I have no use for it. You know,
that's how they can stand there at the correspondence dinner and like laugh in the president's face.
Sure.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design, some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls, 'cause all I see is a tower of dreams, real love bursting out of every scene. Smother the blues with tenderness. Days go by. There's room for you, room for me, for gentle hearts and opportunity. Days go by. It's the bigger love of the family.
An artist speaks to a soul, and almost everybody else, all they have to do is speak about power, as Nomelka would say, increase their value.
You're just trying to increase your value right now. Shut up.
Well, and the sad thing is Nomelka is not doing much art. He's just increasing his own power, trying to organize some political party, religion, ego-inflating mania.
Be quiet. Let him increase his power.
Classic narcissist who, it's really easy to prick him.
Yeah, Chris, we're taking a lot of easy shots at you. Why don't you come on the show?
You've seen his sobbing type of sad blog about
it's so sad.
How his his ego was deflated and over the course of months and months. Yeah. And
soggy little ego.
At the same time, he's the messenger of God himself. Sometimes he is God. Sometimes he's, just totally inflated, and other times totally deflated. That's a poor, sad personality right there. You don't want to be a Christopher Nolte.
Well, sometimes God needs a little baby dust up his nose. That's how Chris Nemelka rolls.
A little baby dust in the vein, maybe.
Like gets him lifted, and that's it puts him right, dude. I mean, he's at the seat of power right now. He needs a throbbing, rock hard erection if he's to be taken seriously. And right now, his grasp on power is limp and weak, like his handshake probably is. The dude just seems like he has no life skills, and yet it's like the record scratch freeze frame. You're probably wondering how I got here right now. Every time I look at that guy, I'm like, how did that old fucking gross dad looking motherfucker become a cult leader and successfully got money from people and influenced Ida Smith?
Freeze frame.
But I didn't mean to take us down the Chris Nemelka tangent, but that dude's so funny, man. Chris, come on the show. Yeah. We want
He's
him.
Not listening.
No, he does. He listens to chronicle.su.
Follow on his blog.
He listens for all instances of himself. And if we put his name on tonight's episode, which we will, he'll listen to it. And Chris, come on the program. Kilgore has some follow-up questions from the last time you guys spoke.
Nah.
He has new questions.
I don't have any fucking questions. I would be just preaching to him like I am now. I don't have anything to ask him. What's he going to tell me? How to manipulate reality or some bullshit? It's garbage. I don't want to hear his shit. I got his books. They're trash.
That's actually, we could talk about manipulating reality together, and don't stray from that subject. We just unpack
that's just like his book, endless crap. I don't want to hear that.
His books were fucking unreadable garbage. I mean, it was, you wonder who really sits through that shit. Like, how do you have the endurance to read that bullshit and maybe take it in and follow the story, but not the intelligence to step outside of it and say, what the fuck am I reading this for? Who is this asshole? Who are his followers? Do people actually read that shit?
Have you read it?
I read it while I was in your wood shop.
There's not much to it, is there?
But there was it was a stack of books like when I went to college.
Not quite that good.
It was just that large, but insubstantial. Like a Chris Nemelka hard on. It's large, sure, but it's just full of baby dust. You don't. you're not gonna suck that. If I'm a Nemelka follower, a Nemelkite, and I'm a milfy kind of lady, he meets me on the beach. He's got that long hair and sparkle in his eyes.
Oh, let's get off of that. Some eroticism.
Fucking Chris Nemelka, dude, out there with his baby dust swinging dick. Okay.
Alright, what got us on?
He's just—he's like a magnet for. You can just say anything about him. You can't defame the guy. But Gigi Allen, you ever see this picture of the punk rock chicks chilling with Gigi Allen, and they don't know that he's dead?
Oh, really? No, I never. I don't want to see a picture of a dead Gigi Allen.
He looks like he's alive in the picture. He looks like he's just chilling on heroin.
He was just having a weekend with Bernie. type of night.
Yeah, he, yes, he overdosed in this picture. And the women are like the one on the left, she looks slightly horrified, like she kind of knows that she's chilling with the dead guy.
Wow, he's a little cold.
Right. And the other one doesn't know, she's just leaning in for the picture. But the one got close. I think there's another photograph of her sitting on his knee. So by this time, she's white as a ghost. And I think she's figured it out. That's a creepy picture, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about Gigi Allen?
That's the worst question I've ever had.
He, you know, he sexually assaulted people.
Yeah, I don't think he's a very good guy, probably.
Did anybody ever say he was a stand-up guy?
No.
He's scum, right?
Well, I honestly don't know that much about him.
Is he like Diogenes?
You got me. I don't know that much about him.
I don't either.
Yeah, in a way, he does things in public that you would think are totally contravene all the taboo.
He walks around with his little Nemelka hanging out, just flipping around in the wind.
Yeah.
And for him, it's like, whatever, dude, I'm drunk or something. I'm about to fight. Like, he's not even thinking about that. And he shits in public?
Yeah, he does everything in public.
He won't even stop to go to the bathroom. He would just, like an animal, just go as he walks. But, I just wanted you to see that dead picture of him that weekend at Bernie's picture.
Yeah, thanks. Hilarious. Well, at least we could make a joke about Weekend at Bernie's. That was a good movie.
Weekend at Bernie's. I never actually watched it. I remember they were in a golf cart.
I even saw Weekend at Bernie's too. Oh yeah, these guys are just morbidly puppeting around. This is like back in the 90s and 80s when all these movies had these really politically incorrect, you could say, themes and action going on, you know, puppeting dead guys around. You remember that, what was that movie? Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the rape scene where the guy impersonates this girl's girlfriend to get a score with her?
No, I don't remember that part.
Well, it's one of those things that you don't even remember, and it's just a gag back in the 90s, and you know, back when it was made or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like when Benny Hill would chase girls around.
Well, nowadays, Benny Hill, you never see him, you know, dressing in person, putting on the costume of some other guy and then, you know, raping a woman. And then having it, not only that, but it's not, and then it's portrayed as a funny gag where she likes it, right?
You never see the part where he catches him and slams the door by.
Oh my god, that would be a really dark kind of a sketch there where you're like doing a bend skip and then finally he's like, gotcha, and drags her into some horrible room. It's not funny, except for that's what Benny Hill is after, right? I guess, right?
Yeah.
What is he after? What is he
he's trying to catch him.
You know, it's like, gotcha, and then his eyes just go like evil and he's a serial killer. What does he do, chop up their bodies? You know?
It's over at that point. Credits roll. Benny Hill.
Can you play the Benny Hill music for us? Because that's just great, great music.
Let's dredge it up.
What does this do? Is that it? No, it's some kind of horn. There it is, there it is, there's the horn. That's all we need.
And he would be chasing him around and down dark alleys.
Of course, you know, maybe it's just a cute little smooching and they laugh and it's a welcome and it's a little game.
A little grab ass.
There could be just a little game of grab ass. But on the other hand, there could be a really dark twist to it where he drags her in his own back room.
Right.
It's a serial killer.
Exactly. Well, maybe that was what was happening at the end of every episode, and there should have been a reveal at the end of the series.
I think this seems like maybe Family Guy has done this. This is the type of thing they would do.
Yeah, Family Guy. Because, I mean, if you watch it now, they're running out of gas. So I'm sure they're hitting every combination of every fucking thing.
Well, I thought they were canceled.
Whatever happened should have happened, and it's okay if it did. The Internet Chronicle, man. Shit is popping. Did you see this ransomware that Microsoft released?
No.
People's computers are the licenses are deactivating on their Pro 10 accounts. So it's like either wipe your computer and go back to home like the bum piece of shit that you are and use the free edition, or pony up for Pro, even though people's computers are legit. It's like a... Isn't this what viruses do? And it's the operating system doing it to people.
Exactly.
But there was a... There was another update. And, I think it's like, I don't know what Microsoft is trying to do here, but... Who gives a fuck about this? Microsoft is fucking stupid. Let's not talk about them. How's Cortana? Are you guys still on the rocks? Or... Is everything all right?
Dude, Cortana never got to know more about me because we never had any.
Dude. Easy, man. She's probably listening. In the latest update, the pop-up briefly explains that it's been a while since you paid Microsoft for something. Oh no, here she comes.
She didn't hear anything.
The Fall Creators update is offering users a choice between premium digital licenses to kiss Bill Gates' fuzzy, wrinkled ass, or else go fuck yourselves and downgrade to the Home Edition for free. That sounds like a fun update. It says here a sleek, modern update portal now lets users subscribe to a random kick in the dick by simply doing nothing.
Jeez Louise.
This is a fun update. It says either uncheck a box or agree to recurring charges because you deserve it. The first update's on the house. Have your credit cards ready because these Microsoft Windows 10 updates don't fuck around. We'll kick in the dick for $5. Might be a whore, but painful. We ain't cheap. So what is that, $500 to kick somebody in the dick is what that means?
Oh, you're going to have to ask Spook about that.
Well, that's the comment. That's her comment.
Why are you asking me about it? You know, that's what I'm
she
saying.
She says, we'll kick in dick for $5. Might be a whore, but painful, we ain't cheap? That's not even a sentence. Them ain't.
But you understand it. I think I understand. She's trying to pretty straightforward.
Might be a whore, but painful, we ain't cheap. Oh, it hurts your foot. Like, actually kicking somebody in the junk hurts your foot. Is that what she's saying?
Well, certainly over the years, you'll get on the job injuries.
Your ankle will be worn out.
Yeah, I mean, jeez.
You go to the doctor and he's like, how many testicles have you kicked this year? I don't know, 40, 50? Repeatedly. That is a lot, you know? Even if you were just like wearing high heels and like stepping on somebody's balls through a hole in a board. Like, even that's a good bit of work. Stepping on it like it's a well, you're trying to put out a cigarette.
This is a conversation for somebody else. I don't know much about it.
Do you know anybody that hires prostitutes that we could interview for the show?
No, but if your listeners out there have any information, just call us up. We'll put it out there for you.
Should be noted that there's one person with experience in this area that we don't want to talk to, and that's John Thiessen. If you're everybody call in unless you're John Thiessen.
What did Chandler say about him? That John Thiessen guy is really freaking me out, man.
He
totally naive about him.
Yeah, he didn't know. He knew nothing about him. I linked him to him. And he's like, I'll just say something funny to this guy, and then he gets roped into John's creepy John felt Chandler's tweets like a fly landing in his web. And he starts posting all this creepy shit, fucking videos of you and stuff. I mean, that's like, you know, that's some next level.
Yeah, he's got a whole folder of creep.
Yeah. He's got it on an external hard drive or something. That dude is rolling creep, steady rolling creep. He lost his family. He has nothing left but to creep on Chronicle.
With the jester. You fucked with the jester too hard, I guess.
You fuck with the jester, and that's a war you're not going to win. Unless you're chronicle.su. Or unless you updated your Apache servers. Everything's fine. The jester must have adapted. Surely he's still doing shit.
No, he doesn't. He hasn't done much of anything since then. Let's see here. Let's get some fresh topics other than these same old tired personalities. We're going to milk it.
I mean, there's a fucking circle of dead horses around us right now.
Yeah, let's see here.
And we're just whipping them in all directions.
Let's see here.
What about, get us some topics, dude. Get us some fucking hard news headlines.
40% of millennials would dodge conscription if a war broke out. In the case of a new world war.
What if they threw a M16 in your hands? And said, go to front lines, Bill.
I ain't afraid of death. I'll kill as many as
you. You would march to the front.
I probably wouldn't do too well, but...
But you'd go to the front with that gun and just shoot downrange.
Well, what else do I gotta do?
Yeah, that'd be... Sure, why not? You know, I'd go with you if I could, but I'm probably gonna be busy.
You're one of the 4 in 10 who's gonna dodge the, description.
Yeah, I'll just die when the nukes hit.
Well, won't we all... What else we got?
They're throttling. Throttling data.
A fifth of Chinese homes are empty. They've really overbuilt.
Oh, self-driving cars could function as moving brothels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly, self-driving cars are... A concept that people haven't really thought about too much. It's going to get to the point where businessmen, you know, their car will be their office and they'll just drive around.
Oh, dude, that would be so fucking cool.
I mean, I guess.
And you, we could have a mobile office, man, that just drives itself around a downtown area.
Yeah, and they'd go for meetings. People would have many more meetings that way, and they'd all be pitching rides around. You've seen this Mercedes, self-driving Mercedes, the concept car that's just a empty shell with four, you know, really big luxury seats that all face towards the center.
It's beautiful and comfortable looking.
And every interior surface is a beautiful touch screen. And it's got a big old computer in it.
Real fun till somebody spills a drink in it.
Well, I guess that's the way every luxury car has always been.
You spilled a Coke in my fucking luxury sedan.
In my Maybach, this car cost 200 fucking grand.
You spilled a Coke. Well,
how much it's, that's a $3,000 spill right there, you fuck.
All right. Get out. Oh, I'm going to write you an invoice for this this date gone wrong. Did you see this picture of Gavin McInnes with his winky out? It's a real long noodle of a thing.
Dude, please.
You want to see this?
Why are we back on this Gavin McInnes guy? I don't care about it.
Do you want to see his winky or not?
I don't, yeah, hell no. I don't even want to think about it. Let's see here.
He was on...
You're going to put it up anyway. Oh, that's just... That has nothing to do with Gavin McInnes.
You thought it was good. Gavin was coming, though. And you were like, no. Let's talk about Gavin McInnes, my neighbor. Gavin McInnes. Owner of the Proud Boys. He's the proud daddy, dude. They're all fighting for his commies. No, I don't really want to talk about him.
Here's a good one. A story out of the UK. A Labour member of Parliament. Here. Jess Phillips.
Do they still want to bomb Parliament, or is that old now?
I think people are going to want to bomb it after hearing about this, because Jess Phillips, the Labour member of Parliament in the UK, says schoolgirls should be taught about orgasms.
That's a bombing.
That from a young age to form healthy relationships when we become adults. And it will break down the culture of power imbalance between men and women. We should be telling girls about orgasm. I'm not suggesting we teach children to masturbate. I'm suggesting we talk to them about the things they're doing anyway.
Whose face do I gotta throw acid on to get these women back oppressed?
She wanted to close the orgasm gap after researchers found that 95% of men always orgasm, while only 65% of women said the same. To liberate the women and then violence, we gotta make them stop feeling ashamed. Now, do you think that? No, I've always felt that. Sex education in general is highly repressive. They teach you that you just can get a disease. I mean, you come out of there just mortified every day. Well, you're gonna get a disease.
Yeah, when I was in college and I had unprotected sex with my girlfriend, I then thought I had AIDS because of what all that fucking so-called teaching had done. I was like, what?
Yeah, they brainwashed you into thinking
that I would get, I had AIDS.
Population control.
And apparently AIDS is like really difficult to be to catch if you're a guy, like having sex with a girl. Like it's
I don't know anything about it.
It's so unlikely to happen that you could do it pretty much all you want. This is coming from Dr. Troubadour.
I didn't learn. I didn't. In sex ed, I learned you get it through the mouth, through the butt.
You could get it if somebody was sweaty and brushed up against you in the hallway.
Oh, no, they taught you. Then you
they said you could get it from fucking and sucking and just sneezing on each other and stuff. You could get it. Tongues in each other's mouths. Everybody had AIDS. You remember there was a girl called Gang Bang that we went to high school with? She was known as Gang Bang.
Because she slept with two guys.
Was it just two?
Yeah.
So Gang Bang was just taking it over the top, hitting her with a that's a crazy label. Did she ever survive?
You ever thought about that? Yeah, I'm sure she did, but you know, what about us? What about people who use that name, the word
Gang Bang?
Yeah, it's just as a nickname, right? What does that say about us?
Right. You call someone gang.
It wasn't even true.
Yeah, it's such a base word. Gang bang. Like what gentleman uses the word gang bang?
Reduce someone to one sex act they did once, you know. Girl has sex with two guys once, her name is now Gang Bang, right?
When she enters a room.
Yeah.
You gesture to her and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Gang Bang." She's like, "Oh, hi. Yeah, I did that one time."
There was only really one girl who had a teen pregnancy, I remember.
I don't remember any, because I looked the other way.
You repressed it.
I pretended not to. Oh, wait, I do remember it.
Yeah.
I made fun of her, and I had to write an apology letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you didn't remember. That's quite an embarrassing thing.
Yep. Old Hatesack had to apologize for,
No, we're not. We don't need to name any names here. Maybe we should add some details to, like.
Maybe we should.
But this girl, she was maybe a juggalo or something. I don't remember.
Well, she seemed to roll in that kind of I don't know. She came from that world. Safe to say, she came from that world. Why do you bring up the juggalos? What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, that's what? Interesting. You know, the juggalos were what? They were like, if I was a psychiatrist, psychologist, psychoanalyst, what would I say about juggalos, right?
First, you would ask yourself, what is a juggalo?
Yeah, what is a juggalo? They
don't care that their butt stinks?
That's right. They're at the anal. They're at the anal fixation, right? Where they're...
They're always playing with their nuts?
They're tired of... Oh, I don't know about that.
That's what they say in the song.
Is that what they say?
Playing with their nuts and with their butts? Yeah. This is what juggalos are about.
So they've self-declared in the very song that they've got an anal fixation and they...
And not just that. They have and a genital fixation, and it goes so far as they'll tie a 2-liter bottle to their dick and a Faygo and throw the Faygo off a 2-story window while they're standing in the room. and this is a juggalo.
So juggalo is kind of in the stuck on the part of their life where they're like from 2 to 8 years old.
Well, Hatesack is sick.
From 2 to 8 years old. That's the juggalo mentality.
Monster trucks are still impressive.
Yeah.
They could probably watch something like Walker Texas Ranger and it would like blow their minds.
Yeah, fucking magic and stuff. Anything more than that? Like, having to relate to another person on a like really mature level beyond sex and develop that kind of thing.
No, if I know juggalos,
it's really not their thing.
They relate better to the to Kit from Knight Rider than they can relate to other people. Because that car was badass, man. And
now,
it talked.
I've always thought they should do a reboot of that where the car, where Kit is a sinister cop.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Who's trying to go after black people.
Wow, that would be nuts. And, it'd be like Black Klansman.
And what's his? And the David Hasselhoff has to kind of like get away from the car and trick it to have any justice at all.
It would be even scarier if the car was the same year and it had all the same old technology in it.
It would be a retro mod, you'd say.
It would be.
I think it would be better to be like a fancy new car, like a cop. One of these cop chargers.
They're so fancy.
Yeah, it would be like one of those, and it would, or some kind of Chevy GT.
When you're getting run down by one of those, it's like la di da. This is a very fancy arrest.
Well, it's going to be even more fancy when it's got this artificial intelligence jacked into Facebook that knows everything about everyone. And is got this racist bias that has come through Facebook into its operation.
And it's hunting people.
Yeah.
A car hunting people, running them down in the night.
And the car is no longer the instrument, but David Hasselhoff is. And David Hasselhoff has to find his... he has to rebel against it and be like a a good cop. I think it would be a great conflict because at first it would break him down, and everything he would do would just put him back more and more, and then eventually, you know, he'd have to face some really horrific decision. The car was putting him up to, and he'd have to do some clever trick to do a runaround on the car.
I'm like, sure, David, the car put you up to it.
Well. That's the thing. Ultimately, the technology is us, and we've got to answer our own conscience rather than let the algorithms and all these dubious kind of depersonalizing tricks we've done to usher in this age of neo-fascism has to be overcome by, you know, little acts here and there, and one by one, again and again, and keep chipping away at it, because, you know, it's here to, it's the new power, it's the new age. It's this neo-fascist digital hell world. And, it's. Oh my god.
They should bring it back, just like that. That would be fucking insane, dude, really? That would be the shit. Netflix could fund that. And he has to fight back against the car, this ugly beast that it's become. Dude, that's a badass fucking story. How'd you come up with that? Where do you get your ideas from?
Well, that was just obvious, you know. I was watching old Knight Rider one day, and well, there you go.
I was just gonna add that it should have Urkel, and he should go, "Did I do that?" When he spills a drink in the console of the car.
But boy, you're on another level.
And there. Kit from Knight Rider would chastise him for spilling a drink into the console and start listing off the components that are damaged and what it's going to cost to have that fixed at the dealership. That's to eat this candy.
That's absolutely the wrong tone.
No, that puts it back on TNT or something. or TBS. You remember TNT? That's what Knight Rider would come on. What did TNT stand for? It was a Turner station, right?
I don't know.
But yeah. That is totally the wrong tone for that reboot. It wouldn't be right. Urkel spilling a drink into the console, riding around it with David Hasselhoff and fucking in racist Knight Rider.
You know, the whole Urkel thing is real. I mean, you might as well shit on it. That's just out of nowhere. It has nothing to do with anything. Although, let's talk about Urkel's car. Isn't that an interesting car?
Well, Raleigh said we should include Urkel.
Fuck him. He's out of here.
You know how executives, when they get involved...
You remember Urkel's car? You remember Urkel's car? The I-7? BMW I-7?
No, he had a BMW.
Yeah, he had an electric car.
The joke was that it was electric.
Well,
and he's a nerd.
You don't remember it?
And nerds use electricity.
Don't remember it, dude? It had, like, the front door was the,
It was the front of the car.
Yeah.
He was like a superhero. He was real tall. He would step up out of it.
It was like a little golf cart.
It was cartoonish. You couldn't spill a drink in that car's console because it didn't even have one.
You'd spill a drink in there and drown.
It would be all around his ankles. So, did it have a brake pedal on the left side? It was different? Or was it both the pedals?
I don't know that much about it, honestly.
I'm going to pull up a picture of Urkel's car.
Never driven one.
Steve Urkel car. Dude, it's a nice little car.
The thing about Family Matters is you'd be like, let's watch Urkel. And then you'd watch it, and Urkel wouldn't be on it. And then you'd be waiting and waiting, and then he'd have his scene. And you'd watch, walk out, and go.
And you never saw Urkel. Did I do that? And he'd spill some beans in the floor. This one has a hi-hat or something.
No, that's the
steering wheel.
You notice how it's got that universal joint there.
So you can sit down in the car and just...
And then it just flops back down on you.
Punches you, spears you in the chest.
I wonder if the door came open while you were driving, if it would just veer off to the left.
Because of the weight?
No, because it would, opening the door would turn the wheel, maybe.
That looks like a fun car to drive.
Yes, I mean, it looks like you'd be kind of like a tiny little golf cart almost.
It only has three wheels.
Yeah.
I bet it's, is it quiet?
Electric cars are very quiet. I'm sure you could go golfing in the rain with a car like that. You just hop out real quick, take a shot, drive down the fairway.
This looks like it's actually on a cart path at a
it does.
Golf course.
That's why I'm thinking that. Well, from this Urkel thing, man.
It's red like his clothes.
I don't think that's how his looked. I think his was the blue one.
He would step up out of that thing like he was springing up out of a can. He was real tall and handsome. You remember the episode where he was handsome? And they like flipped the tables.
Oh, he had a time machine, yeah.
And people in the audience was howling. And he was all hot. And then what happened? They like banished him back to ugly nerd land. How did that?
God, if I, you know, I know
that was the superior Urkel.
I know the number one thing our listeners want to hear is us trying to piece together old episodes of Family Matters in a vein again, pointless.
Well, maybe if we could figure out what happened to beautiful Urkel, it would speak to your fucking Knight Rider backstory, because Urkel was beautiful. Why couldn't he be a beautiful black man?
It would really you know, spoil the whole sitcom if he wasn't a nerd anymore. He would, you know, there goes all his catchphrases.
He outclassed that whole shitty family once he became smooth. And it was like, oh yeah, this guy is so far out of everybody's league here. What is he doing? Did I do that? But let's not spoil it. Family I watched Family Matters because it came on after something I liked and before something I liked. Like, what was the cartoon with the dog from Australia? He was a wallaby. And he had a dog.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah. It came on before Rocko's Modern Life.
Well, I mean, here we are on another really interesting topic of the schedule of TV shows.
Let's, are you suggesting that this is the end?
This is past the end, I think.
Radio Hate, this is the end. And I'm Hate Sec, and this is Wild Bill Kilgore from the Internet Chronicle. Chronicle.su would like to remind you on your way out to go fuck yourselves and have a nice fucking yourself kind of a day. This is Chronicle.su. Goodbye. Fuck off.
When I find you in your sleep, I will tell you
All fucked up.